either.
It's the Big Interview.
All right, boys, prepare to be dazzled.
Thinking big, living big, talking big with market strategists, money managers, economists, authors, and more.
This is big news. What's going on here? This is big news. We need coverage of this.
Long chats with big brains, meant to give you a better view of the big picture as money life goes literally.
Go big or go.
Talking.
Yes, we are, and we're talking right now with Doug Roberts, Chief Investment Strategist at Channel Capital Research. Now, if you listen to the show regularly, you are not surprised that the day after a Fed meeting, we're talking to Doug because, well, he is the author of Follow the Fed to Investment Success, and we do check in with Doug many, many times when we're around Fed meetings. If you want to check in with Doug beyond what we talk about here on the show, he's online at DougRoberts.com. The firm is online at ChannelCapitalResearch.com. And Doug, by the way, is on Twitter at Doug S. Roberts. But right now he's here. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Chuck, always a pleasure to be here.
So we got what we expected from the Fed. That's the headline. They raised rates. But in the fringes, they gave us some things that maybe we weren't expecting. So did life change for us yesterday when the Fed finally came through with a rate increase?
I don't think life changed exactly, but life definitely became much more uncertain. And that's really what the market was reacting to yesterday.
So explain how and why, and when does that uncertainty get resolved?
Right now, we've now significantly added to the bunch of ifs. Essentially, what we had before with the election of Donald Trump, which was twofold. One, a big surprise that wasn't factored into the market. But at that time, once there was some, a little bit of consideration, they thought this may be a positive and that there would be fiscal stimulus added really to monetary stimulus. What we're now seeing right now is if that is kind of a caveat that if that fiscal stimulus is introduced, some of the monetary stimulus may be withdrawn a bit quicker than anticipated. We're not talking about a return to 1994 where rates were raised substantially in a relatively short period of time, but we are talking about somewhat of a larger increase. Really, you're correct in saying that, you know, today was totally anticipated by the market. It's really the forecast for next year, which was unanticipated. Previously, the forecast was for two rate increases of approximately a quarter of a point each next year. They're now talking about three increases. And during the press conference, despite continued prodding from multiple angles and from multiple sides, Janet Yellen gave really no more flavor into really the decision making around there and put a lot of big ifs into her answers, which I think unsettled the market, which could, you know, unsettle it further for the next couple of days before everybody calms down and realizes, you know, things may not necessarily be as bad as, you know, everybody's anticipating. Very, very similar to what happened after the election.
Okay. But if we're going to, as your book suggests, follow the Fed to investment success, what do people want to be doing right now?
Right now, you want to be holding tight to your existing strategy because at least one of the formulas that I laid out in the book was really, are we in negative interest rate territory? And we still are. And that really hasn't changed that much unless the inflation rate, you know, decreases substantially and the interest rates increase substantially. And as we've seen with Fed forecasts, there are many things much more uncertain than, you know, Fed forecasts. The only certainty we really have is that the sun will rise tomorrow. And even then, some people claim that's only an even bet with global warming. But at this point, really, you don't want to react to it. You want to really see how things evolve. As I like to say sometimes, you want to react to what the market actually does as to what the Fed is actually saying. Is sometimes what they're saying is very, very different from what they're actually doing.
In terms of the data that the Fed is relying on. We're still in uncharted territory when it comes to knowing exactly what policies we're going to see out of the new administration. Does that in any way, shape, or form kind of give the Fed leeway to be a little bit vague, to change things as they did, but still be vague enough that they can be somewhat wishy-washy, because they're always going to be able to go back and go, well, had we known that this was going to be the policy, maybe we wouldn't have said we'd go to three or what have you?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what the Fed is doing. What they're saying is much depends upon what the policies are of the new president, and not just what his policies are, but what effects that they have on the market and the economy. And therefore, you know, we're saying, you know, based on what he's saying, you know, it could increase, but, you know, it could increase, shall we say, inflationary pressures and intensity. And the Fed, for just the reason that, you know, Chair Yellen mentioned in her speech, we'd like to have some arrows in our quiver in case, let's say, a recession does occur and we need to lower rates. It's much easier to lower rates from, let's say, a 1% level than a 0.5% level, and even easier from a 1.5% level. So while the going is good, we want to raise rates as much as we can before we have to, so that we don't have to really go back into that quantitative easing cycle. But at the same time, what, you know, the market really doesn't seem to be considering today is the pace, although it's quickened somewhat. And again, as you pointed out, it may be quickening somewhat. So there's no definitive path on that, because we've seen that before where Fed forecasts have then been ratcheted down shortly thereafter, after they've been raised. You know, at this point, we're not exactly talking about massive tightening in a short period of time.
No, we're not. Do you look at things and say, okay, we can see inflation, the kind of inflation that the Fed has previously been calling for, and we can do that while they're doing the increases as well? And, oh, by the way, do all of that and not create a recession?
I think what they really want to see is inflation, you know, at least some of our research, it's not just purely a monetary phenomenon. It's actually largely a trade phenomenon. You know, really, the inflation of the 70s was triggered by a huge increase in oil prices set by OPEC. Now, the Fed at that time had the opportunity to confirm that or to basically counter that by raising rates, but they didn't want to, basically worsen the recession of the country, and they were willing to tolerate inflation versus the severity of the recession. Now, at certain points, they didn't quite get it correctly, and they ended up with a little bit of each, at that time known as stagflation. But really, that didn't break. I know Paul Volcker was credited with that by raising interest rates, but largely our research has shown it was really the breaking of oil prices, developed by cheating with OPEC, which again is another big if in this formula, is probably the recent announcements by OPEC that they're going to be setting production quotas, the rise in oil prices. People may be extrapolating out and saying this could cause inflation. And again, that again is a series of big ifs. If everybody abides by their quotas, which OPEC and other oil-producing countries, particularly ones that need the hard currency generated from exporting oil, have not always been true to their word that they were going to stick to the quotas. So, again, those quotas may be something that in the short term, raise oil prices, but in the long term actually lower them because of production cheating. And we've also mentioned before in our own commentary that really $50 is the price point at which many experts consider that fracking could bring supply online, to slow any advance of oil. And that's that can be done relatively easily, unlike conventional drilling.
We're almost out of time here. But for you, are you now convinced that, like, this is the program and this is what we will see? Or
nope.
Was there just enough wishy-washiness that, no, none of it means...
I think right now there was an overreaction, kind of a catch-up rally in the market, where at that point Donald Trump's fiscal program was not considered to be, you know, what really had been said during the campaign. It was different from what we currently have, but at that point might have some positive as well as negative effects. The market overreacted to that in the form of a catch-up rally with a lot of managers who were overinvested, now trying to become fully invested. That developed a momentum of its own, and today's speech kind of let everybody know that everything is perfect in Fed land, but then again, the sky isn't falling down either.
Well, Doug, it's always great to check in with you when we are talking Fed stuff. Thanks so much for taking the time out to join us. I know you've got a lot of other folks who want to chat with you. They're smart to do it. Good luck with that, too.
Thanks for having me on the show, Chuck. Always a pleasure.
Doug Roberts is the Chief Investment Strategist at Channel Capital Research. If you want more information, channelcapitalresearch.com, dougroberts.com. Remember, the book is Follow the Fed to Investment Success, and you can get information about it at both of those sites. Doug's on Twitter. He's at Doug S. Roberts. All right, we have just hit the halfway poll on the December 15th edition of Money Life. Up next, Senior Focus with Bob Powell, and then the third of our three-part interview with Jack Bogle. Oh yeah, there's much more Money Life to come, and we'll get to it in just a moment.